All right, welcome to Sheep Farm, and this is another Mint Sauce Chronicles on a Friday night. Call this the wettest drought since records began in 1854. And with me tonight, as usual, is old Binocular Nostrils himself, our Chris.
Good evening.
Spotting another vest. He's got a fantastic array of these vests. In fact, I want to see him in Seb Coe's 1980s Moscow 1500 meter vest. I think you should get one of them. Or Steve Ovett. What wine is supping tonight? Which piss are you drinking?
I've got a bottle of the Governor from Majestic Wines. It was on special offer $5.99, and it's delicious. And I bought six bottles of it.
Six bottles. So that'll last you what till tomorrow morning?
If you buy six, you get it cheap.
Do you get the IV drip with it?
I've been working since 7 o'clock this morning. I came home, went straight in my shed to paint some sculptures, and now it's what, 8 o'clock, and now I'm sat here with you. So I deserve a glass of wine.
You deserve one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's strange that, isn't it? Recovering alcoholics say things like that.
Yeah.
I deserve this.
I'm not recovering. Fuck that shit.
All right, just a bit of housekeeping to start us off with. Again, if you want to contact, please email sheepfarm.co.uk, that's sheepfarm.co.uk. If you leave messages on Podomatic or on YouTube, on any of the comments there, we might not get around to seeing them. And so please email us on sheepfarm.co.uk. Hopefully password issues, we're having some password reset issues. I know everybody forgets the passwords, I do and what have you, and the system weren't resetting them. I'm fingers crossed, I think we've sorted it today. I've done a lot of testers and I've seen some coming through actually of people that I would have had to do manually. So I think that bit's sorted out. I know it was causing a few problems for people who had an account already set up and then they wanted to become a member and it weren't letting them in. So now you should be able to reset it. If you can't, email us, sheepfarm.co.uk.
It's frustrating as hell when things like that happen.
Oh, it's annoying. When you want to listen to something, it's happened to me on Crow 777. I know it's happened to you on a few different podcasts. Also, a couple of things to mention. The Rattery on the 10th, 11th and 12th of September with the Rise Above Live guys. We'll be there on the Saturday. Show our support. Matt Devlin's going to be there playing some tunes. I don't think you flip discs now, do you? It's more like doing it digitally.
I don't actually know that.
Well, no, I don't either. Maybe we're taking all his discs down. I doubt it. I think it'd be on some electrical device now. But talking to Mark Devlin, on Thursday, that's this coming Thursday, on the 1st of September, he's in Bradford on his Musical Truth 3 Soundbites tour. So anybody around this area hearing this, get yourself down to the Caroline Street Social Club in Saltaire, Shipley, Bradford. Admissions only £4 on the door. And
Saltaire's lovely.
Yeah, Saltaire's a lovely place. And it's on 7 till 10 to hear Mark do one of his presentations. I'll be going. I don't think Chris will get up, but I'll be there going.
I'm planning going away, but if I don't, it's a possibility, but I don't think I'll be able to. I'm working Friday morning, actually. I've just answered my own question.
Right, there you go then. But you can contact Marie there, and I'll put all the details in the description for this show. And so I think that's everything out the way there. I don't know if you listened to the Nick Colostrom podcast that we did a week or so ago. We've had about a week off, I think, haven't we? 10 days or so from podcasts, chilling out a bit. But that was a really good podcast.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Yeah, I did. Really enjoyed it. And he surprised me, didn't he? How jovial he was. It's quite funny, wasn't it?
Well, somebody put a comment on saying that, not that he was miserable, but that it sounded like we found it difficult to...
I didn't say that.
But in fairness, I actually felt
really
the opposite.
Enjoyed talking to him. He's a smart guy. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed that one. I mean, and who'd have thought we'd be in a position, right? I've got two of his books.
I know.
And who'd have thought we'd be talking to people whose books I have?
Well, these people.
Well, three or four of them.
We've listened to for years. Matt Devlin, Nick, John Hammer, and many others. And we've listened to them for a long time, and now we're talking to them, and it's quite an intriguing.
Quite unnerving, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I don't know. It feels very natural to me, you know. And yeah, you don't know how these podcasts are going to go because you've never met people. So you're talking to people.
And we've never had an issue, have we?
No.
We've never. Mm-mm. There's one guy who didn't turn up because I think he realised who we were, which I'm not going to mention. But
we're not going to mention the name, no.
No, but every single one we've interviewed, I've felt quite warm to.
Yes.
I've not felt any alienation or anything.
No.
Mind you. We're not the most awkward people in the world, are we?
I try not to be.
I'll talk to any bastard who listens.
And after them six bottles of wine,
no disrespect to anyone we've interviewed.
After them six bottles of witch piss, you will.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny... Can I tell you a funny story? I don't know if I told you this, though. Missus went to Portugal, and Sisley Manipa, her favourite song is, or was, Get Up Off of That Thing by James Brown, because you were in a cartoon, and she loved it. So I kept playing it for her. So I showed her some James Brown videos, and she was on holiday, and her granddad said to her, she was doing some splits. He said, oh, where'd you learn that? Ballet. She said, no, James Brown.
Awesome. I bet there's not many also, nowadays saying James Brown.
She had a, what is it, for her last birthday, for her fourth birthday, Frozen Woman turn up. You know, they were doing Pass the Parcel, and she requested for Pass the Parcel, Get Up for That Thing by James Brown. So they were playing it as like 4-year-olds doing Pass the Parcel.
You're not getting much of a better song, are you?
No, that was a very proud moment for me.
Yeah. One thing, Chris, I sent you an email, I don't know if you got it, from Amy and Patrick, who did the Sheep Town Flag.
Just read it.
Glastonbury.
Came on.
And they got married on the 13th of August.
Yeah.
And they had a mini Glastonbury. Marquee set up.
Picture. Fantastic.
Yeah. And it had our flag and Hugo's flag waving away at the wedding, which that's pretty, how can I say?
I don't even know what to say to that.
No, I don't. It's quite an... When I saw that Glastonbury flag, and I mentioned this a few times, my eyes did prickle. It was quite an emotional, touching moment,
Well, it's when you see all them thousands of people there. Like we said, someone's gone to the trouble of printing it, carrying it all the way there, sticking it up in the air. I'll have to get him his address and send him a sheet fan bottle up.
Yeah, we'll just you've got the email address, just email him.
Yeah, I was going to do it, but then we just before we came on when I saw it.
But what it just shows to me is that this movement, whatever it is, whatever we are, whatever we're here at this particular moment in time, and we're to talk about that a lot, but it takes more than just me or you to do this and do research. It takes more than Mark Devlin to write a book. There's a lot of movement underneath and behind the scenes and within to spread the word and pass. They're passing spells on us, so we've got to pass ours on to them in a way.
It is it is mental when you think, it's like Fight Club, isn't it?
Yes, it's like Fight Club. We are Fight Club. That is a good way of putting it. Probably the best way of putting it.
We're all listening and doing things. And people we go and work with don't know.
No.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like an underground movement.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit fortunate with the people that work with us. Most of them, people who work in the clinic, obviously jumped over the fence. But
you've cult-leaded them.
If you have SAS abseiling into clinic, stun grenades in, trying to get this cult leader out of there.
Another thing that my nipper said as well, though, I think I told you, I've got one of those bikes with a massive box on that you always take a piss out of because I live in Cambridge.
That's not a bike. It's not a bike.
No,
it's a wheelbarrow.
You said you wouldn't be seen dead on it.
No, I'd probably be seen dead under it. But
I was taking my nipper to nursery.
What do they call them? What do they call them? Is there a name for him?
There is a name for him, and I forgot what it is.
Apart from Shite Bike. Penny Farthing with a basket?
I think they were used for like butchers and stuff and deliveries.
I'm going to say it looks like that when my dad used to say Wunderloaf.
Loads of people in Cambridge have got them for the kids now.
Didn't Open All Hours have one? David Jason?
Something like that. No, it's bigger than that, isn't it? Mine's massive. But I love it. It's brilliant. My main worry when I bought it was I wasn't going to use it because it's quite pricey. But I bought it secondhand off eBay.
But you sweat like a fat lad in Lycra when I speak to you on the phone. You can hear it dripping off you. Breathing like a secondhand greyhound.
But I was going to take your sister to nursery, and she looked up in the sky because I was saying to you, I've noticed this in the last week or two, especially the moon high in the sky on a morning. I mean, she looked up, she went, that shouldn't be there. It's daytime. It only comes out at night.
Clever girl. Clever girl.
Well, she spotted something that I think's weird.
Well, my youngest said the same thing. We went for a walk and he said, how's moon out now and sun's out?
Yeah.
So these kids are noticing things, and people who listen to this, your kids are noticing things because how we're bringing them up.
Don't tell them to shut up and watch Brian Cox. Just say, it's good that you're asking that question. I ain't got a clue.
but it's because we live in a simulated universe. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, more on that at some other point. I'd like to.
It's funny you say that, Fi. I was just thinking today. I don't know why it popped in my head. Are we avatars? Are we just avatars, like from the film Avatar?
But it's strange because I've just uploaded a video to YouTube that I haven't put live yet called Avatar 2045.
Right. More serendipities. When did you do that? Because I was thinking about work today about 1 o'clock. I think
this afternoon.
And I was just thinking, that film telling us everything? Because we're here. Nobody can tell us why we go to sleep, right? So is that the rest period wherever our
recharge
soul is or wherever the hell it is?
Yeah.
Is that the rest period that we need? And that might equate to 100 hours in the other place, wherever that is. Mm. And then we have to come back here and carry on with this.
Yeah. Is it no wonder that
it almost makes logical sense, doesn't it?
Of course it does. But that comes back into that incubator world that we live in, where we may well have people looking down on us, and then them avatar people controlling this game that we're playing.
Maybe this is the punishment for something we did wrong over there.
Or this is where the breeders in the incubator, like chicks hatching out of eggs. I don't know. But because that'd explain why we've never left Earth.
Yeah.
And we can't get out of that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
All very exciting stuff, though.
All very exciting stuff. Yeah, very exciting. We were talking this week about the Divock, the nonsense, not being an experiment. We hear it over and over again about it being some kind of experiment, whether it's a psychological experiment or whether it's the vaccine experiment, you know?
For it to be an experiment, somebody doesn't know the outcome. I was saying to you, I don't think it is an experiment because somebody does know the outcome.
Yeah.
So that's not an experiment.
No.
And I just got thinking, I'm not saying anything's wrong or right here, but even us lot talking about, it was when I was thinking about that, you know, the thing hadn't been isolated. We ran on about this stuff like that. What's his name? Mullins guy.
Yeah.
We ran on about that stuff. Like we know it as a fact, but it could have just been another controlled thing popped out there.
But isolated what? I mean, as we know, a virus, for argument's sake, all we see is that picture that somebody's drawn. It's not seen under a microscope. Nobody's seen it moving around or anything like that in that shape, you know? Yeah. So how can they isolate or not isolate? And what are they actually isolating? You know
what I'm saying is we're as guilty for regurgitating stuff that we don't really know. I mean, me as well, by the way. I think one of the things, the only way you can actually look at it is if you're watching the TV, you're definitely being lied to.
Yes. Do you know what I feel is, going back to what you were saying there, it's like we've been put in this dark place, this isolation room, the Scottish Rites isolation room, even though we didn't want to take part, we weren't part of the mask wearing and all the other bollocks that were going on. But we're all still that isolated. And now we're seeing the light. And as you say, it's a fucking train coming. But I don't think it is, because I think we're moving into a different space now. Because now we're questioning the questions that we asked, if you get me drift.
Yeah.
And
I suppose that's what I just did then. Yeah,
you just did that then.
Things we said.
What we've done is, for the last 2 years, is question viruses, question this, germ theory, terrain theory, this, that.
Then you reach a point where it doesn't matter.
You reach a point where you think, we've been lied to, so
the details
sort of irrelevant. They're not irrelevant, but it's strange because I'm having a conversation with somebody today about this. Me and Crabclaws were having a conversation, and I was saying that sort of most of the things in your life, like hope, trust, love, all these things, most of them are nonsense because
the words, aren't they?
The spells. And for love isn't a word. You don't get vindication or value from the word, because you know. When I mention your young'uns, or mine, you don't have to say you love them.
No.
Because you don't need to say it. Just like you don't have to say I'm hungry, because you know when you're hungry.
Well, also, I'd say that I'd say.
Oh, you know when you need to put a clean vest on.
I'd say the love thing's been hijacked anyway. If you think about the Valentine's thing, so if you don't do that on that day, you don't love that person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's bollocks, isn't it?
It is absolutely.
It's a deep, far deeper thing than that, isn't it? You know. Yeah.
You know. Well, again, it's far deeper because no words can explain it. So they've had to conjure up these words to explain something that you feel. So the whole thing's been hijacked. Most music and most films are about love and trust and honor and pride and all sacrifice. The other nonsense that we'd sacrifice and all the other nonsense that we are fed in this world, which is total nonsense. Now, you have to be involved in this nonsense, sadly. We can't just jump ship and say we're not involved in it because otherwise we won't have a roof on our head. However, we can still see it's nonsense. Even if we live within it, we can still see that it's nonsense. And most of these spells that we get told are nonsense. And fear and trauma are the same part of this. Because the opposite of love is hatred, isn't it? The opposite of confidence is fear. These words mean the same thing. But if somebody says to you, I love you, that could mean I hate you. Because that person could be eating you around head saying they love you.
I think you can put most problems, like if you're at work, say you're at work and someone's been an asshole, you can backtrack most problems to fear, I think.
Yes, 100%.
Like what Yoda said. But you can't you?
Yeah.
If there's a guy who's been it's fear that you're going to take his place or you're better than him at something or you're going to do better than him at something or her or whatever. But it's all, you can always track it straight back to fear. And even if you're feeling it yourself, if you're feeling anxiety, it's usually if you're scared of something, aren't you?
Yeah, it is. It's
all need a bit of it. We need a bit of it, but delivering it to us on
silver platter. But we obviously your fight or flight is your trauma. Yeah. You know, if a lion's chasing you, or you've run out of red wine, you know, and it flicks on, that you've got to get down to threshers.
Red wine threshers? Down your vest.
So the whole system is worked on. Your fight or flight is increasing that cortisol, that stress from your adrenal glands into your brain. And when we're in that position, like people were 2 years ago, they don't know whether to stick or twist. They can't make a rational decision. They make a decision based on fear. And generally decisions made based on that, as we've seen with the millions of people.
Well, they're either bad or they hurt someone else.
You sent me a video this week and it just summed up the whole thing of these lunatics, these parasites. Them Australians that were talking about take the jab, you know.
You sent me a video and it's a guy on BitChute.
From a listener, wasn't it? From a listener.
Was it from a listener?
Yeah.
And he's a channel called Wake the F Up.
Yeah.
And he's got some good videos on there.
He has got some good videos.
But he had one on there and it was Australians Don't Forget This. And it was all the... Who's that nutter, that Australian guy? He's horrible.
Dan Summit or other, isn't it? Dan Summit or other.
But that woman at the end...
Creepy as hell, isn't it?
Did you see that woman?
Yeah, in red dress.
She was like in a frenzy, like saying... I mean, can you put a link to that?
I'll put a link to it, yeah.
It's a good video.
Let me write these down, otherwise I'm going to forget.
You can't forget this stuff, how crazy it got. It got crazy. I mean, that woman, there's a woman on it, and she's ranting. If you don't do as you're told, you're endangering other people.
Her eyes were like mad dog's bollocks, weren't they?
Mad dog bollocks. Then there's another one with that same woman, isn't there? And when she says, if you notice, when she says, the jabbed will turn on the unjabbed, and she smirks when she says it. She's like, wait, she's waiting for her.
You know what that reminded me of, though?
What?
The dead will turn on the undead. It reminded me of that type of thing.
It's insane. I mean, is that all you're either with us or against us thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The whole George Bush.
You can't have any sort of
there's no middle ground.
There's either yes or no, up or down, right or wrong.
Look what happened. Click. Yeah. All over.
Yeah.
Well, it's not all over, is it? But
all over in Iraq, and let's knight the bastard that did it.
What did you think of that one I sent you? What did you think of that article I sent you? I put it on the Sheep Farm Instagram. That guy with his nose rotting off, because I've seen it quite a few times now. It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. I had to look at the picture, and when I look at it again, I have to ask, is it real?
Yeah, well, he's smiling as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I have to ask, is it real?
I keep looking at it. I mean, it looks horrific, but is it just a special effect?
It's just, again,
why is he only that one picture? Wouldn't you want one from the side or a different angle?
It looked like
another one, his eyes were blacked out.
Like some, it reminded me like a witch had cast a spell on him and grown a mushroom on his nose or something. You know what I mean? It didn't look real. It were the red spots, the red monkey fucking put.
Yeah, they look makeup. They look like makeup, don't they?
Yeah, they look like he'd had half a dozen nipples stuck in his head.
I also see that article where I've stopped putting them on Instagram because I don't want to be. I don't know. I try to put things on there that are funny, but sometimes it's making me as bad as them, isn't it?
I noticed
if we put some art on there, if we put some art on there, or that bit where Seb's singing his song, it gets more views and likes than any of the negative shit. So I might actually just stop doing
it. Well, again, that's what we're trying to be about. But I come to the conclusion that, and I mentioned this in one of my really early videos 3 years ago, that humans are an outdated model. We're an old model. Now, whether we're Mark 1 or Mark 10, we're an old model. A bit like when you watched Star Wars with those droids and you saw that R2 and CP3O, the ones before them and stuff like that. We're the humans like that, aren't we? We're too diverse. We're hard to manage. Nick took the... Mrs. took the cat into the vets, right? Mm. And the... Anyway, long story. The cat, he said, has it been jabbed? No. Right. Oh, right. Has it been chipped? No. Ooh. You know, government, it'll have to be chipped at some point, he said. Why?
Is it? Why?
It's government's bringing a law in saying all animals have got to be chipped.
It's a fucking cat. What, in case it tries to go to France or something?
Yeah. It tries to go on a high speed train from. I mean, this is the level of management that they're going to be going, and you could tell when Mrs. said it that he had glee in his voice, because obviously for him
you get paid.
Well, all these cats now are going to have to come in and have a chip in them. So,
well, mine won't be getting one, that's for sure.
Yeah, mine won't either.
My Mrs.
Stick two
got
claws
worried.
Up at that
little middle claw finger.
Middle claw.
When we got our two cats, I know Mrs. was worried about cat cancer and cat AIDS.
No, what about cat owls?
Mental. Oh, that was funny, wasn't it? So,
I was in tears when you told me that.
We got two kittens, and my missus, in a totally serious voice,
You've got to understand, his missus worries about leaves falling.
Yeah. Well, one of them were having a piss at garden when it was a baby, and she was out there on her haunches because it was raining with an umbrella over it.
this is just somebody who brought up on a farm.
I was pissing myself. I wish I'd have got a picture of it. Yeah, anyway, sure. when we got the cat, she goes, we need to just watch him in the back garden. I'm like, why? She goes, because an owl might swoop down and take him away. And I pissed myself laughing. She got annoyed with me. What are you laughing at? It's not funny. I said, Lou, as much as I like the cats, right, I'd pay money to see an owl carry one of them over that fucking house. Anyway, it turned out she'd been watching Labyrinth with David Bowie. I think an owl takes a kid away or something, I don't know. And also, we've got a back door that swings a bit. And she said, watch him in that back door because it'll cut him in half like a bacon slicer.
What's she been watching with that one, though?
Why you should be like Stephen King for cats, just writing cat horror films.
Yeah. Cat terror.
Mad bint.
So anyway, we'll move on. We've had 10 or 20 minutes just chewing the fat there. So you've been watching something on Netflix called...
Sandman. Yeah, the reason I brought it up with you was there's a show on Netflix called Sandman, written by Neil Gaiman. Now, it's based on a comic, and I don't know if anyone knows, but I used to be a big comic fan. I still read him occasionally, but...
How do you spell his name?
Well, Neil, G-A-I-M-E-N.
So, gay man?
Gay men, yeah.
Gay men.
Anyway, in the Sandman show, I don't know if anyone's watched it. It's really good, to be fair. It's got a bit of opening, but it's got a bit of Satanism in it with, who is it, that actor, I forgot his name, older guy. And they compare him to on a level with Aleister Crowley, which is interesting, and just throw that in there. But what I noticed in this show,
Charles Dance. What did you do with Charles Dance?
Did I?
I think so. Anyway, I'm going.
Anyway, I've forgotten. Yeah, it is Charles Dance, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I watched it. You told me what.
Anyway, what I noticed in it, following the agenda, there's a very high level of gay and transgender people in it. Right. And one of the main characters, which is Constantine, who's they made into a film with Keanu Reeves. You remember that film, Constantine? Mm. He's a character from that Sandman world, if you like.
Right.
But in this show, they've made him a girl. Now, nothing wrong with that, but is there any point? Is there any point in making him a girl? And there's one show, and in it, everyone's gay.
Well, again, you've just said it's a transgender agenda, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
Keanu Reeves is a bloke, now he's a girl.
Yeah. And in the comics, which go back to the 80s, it's always a bloke. I don't know. It's just not necessary, is it? And even if you were, if I was a gay man or a transgender guy, you'd watch this stuff. Like I said about the overuse of black people and Asians in adverts, you'd watch it and it'd be slightly offensive to you because you'd be like, this isn't proportionate to the amount of gay, transgender, black or Asian people in my life or in this country or whatever. Yeah. And it's kind of rude, isn't it? And it is to cause that.
Should sections of society be included in films? Yeah.
But let's, it should be proportionate to how many are in society.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
What it's meant, I mean, we should start complaining that there's not enough
mixed race
people.
Yeah, well,
loads of black people. There's no mixed race.
What this is, they're using the same, I know we're talking about just something slightly different, they're using the same psychological propaganda for everything. Like,
yeah.
It's a drought when it's pissing down. There's a virus running around when nobody's ever seen it. We've got to put all these gay people on, even though they're a very, very small proportion of society, an important proportion of society, but small anyway, you know, or everything's blown up.
Right, I don't remember.
You'd think that every second person was transgender, the way they go on about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
Maybe they are. Maybe those vests aren't vests, the boob tubes.
But also, like we've said about a lot of racism, it's not that prevalent anymore. And definitely, I've not heard anyone slag off gay people. I've really not heard anything.
No.
So, I don't...
The really old joke, it's like an old thing now, isn't it? It's not the
you know, it doesn't deserve the attention it gets.
No, it doesn't. In fact,
it causes... Yeah. Well, a classic example is the Black Lives Matter thing, isn't it? It got everyone up in arms. Oh, White Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. None of it matters. Stop looking at it.
meanwhile, they're injecting everybody, poisoning them.
Yeah.
2 years on killing them, 30 years on sterilizing them, and nobody cares.
Let's focus on that.
Yeah.
But do you remember that video where, I think it was in America, and these people were marching down the street, Black Lives Matter, and it was predominantly white people, and they were going up to those people at restaurant, Kneel!
Yeah.
They're insane.
Well, they were doing the same in sporting events. And the little I watch sport now, but
that
really finished me off. That was the Chuck Norris roundhouse for me when they started kneeling down.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that is the old... That,
you shouldn't
that
kneel was a, or clap for anyone. Shouldn't be clapped outside your house.
Ritualistic, though, that. That is... A ritualistic, they've been forced to do that, like the mask wearing, like banging pots and pans on the doorstep. I mean, that's come back to bite now. Everyone's going to have to pay the piper now, us included, for the money that they've chucked in, that they weren't going to charge any interest for, but now inflation's 1.75%.
Mm. Possibly going up to 15 or whatever.
It's not inflation, sorry. They're charging interest on the loans back. But it is... inflation's way higher than that. It's not inflation that we're talking about there. But what I'm trying to say is that these things that these suckers have been drawn into, now they've got to pay for. But that's a different subject. Let's get on with Sandman.
Anyway, the show itself is really good, except for the gender agenda. But I've read Neil Gaiman since I was a kid, and he's written some fantastic books. He wrote Stardust, that film, had Robert De Niro in it.
Yeah,
you've seen that. It's a good film. He's written loads of stuff. Anyway, I had a quick look, because I think, I'd like to do some stuff on comic books because I've always been a big comic book fan. I mean, who's Stan Lee fan?
Well, we did some, if you remember, we did some research on him and a lot of the other, not much, but we did a quick gathering of looking around, or I did, and I found links to CIA and all sorts of stuff in these people. And so
mean, look at Marvel now. Stanley's got to be something. He's got to be.
Well, I actually think.
I mean, maybe not him personally, but they portrayed him as like this lovable granddad figure who turns up in every Marvel film. Well, but then you look at Spider-Man, and he's throwing up the devil arms.
Well, again, and when
you've
things
got
get
every
on...
every kid, I was a Spider-Man fan.
Yeah. Everyone was.
Yeah, everyone throwing up devil arms. So you got a kid running around throwing. Was that an accident? Was it a coincidence?
Well, again,
maybe?
Spider-Man, white guy for the last 70, 80 years, now has to be a black guy.
Well, that's actually quite a good story in the comic book world. I mean, I don't disagree
with
that.
No, but it's the same thing.
But what I mean, it's a different guy, though. They haven't changed the same guy into a black guy. That's right. When it gets... Yeah. You know what I mean? They introduced a new character, so I'll let that one start.
Right.
Although they did make Robin gay. But then again, maybe, you know, for the... what is it, Pride period, they made Robin gay, I saw in the comic shop. But then again, it probably is, isn't it?
I don't know.
Batman and Robin knocking around with each other.
I don't know. That yellow cape, anyway. But quite manly.
Dresses in yellow.
Just like an elf. Yeah.
Anyway, we've just out of interest, just before we came on, I had a quick look at Neil Gaiman, who's he's a very fair, if you read comics, he's a very famous comic book author. And like I said, he's written some crackers, and Sandman's brilliant. And so he's, and clearly has got a lot of esoteric knowledge as well. I had a quick look at his wiki page. He didn't mention anything about...
Didn't you say Sandman included links to Crowley and stuff like that?
No, so I just said that. He mentioned Crowley in the show.
And there was a ritual going on, was it? Was there a ritual
going on? Yeah, he like pans through Charles Dance's house. Basically, his son died, and he's trying to capture death. So he does a ritual to bring death. But he doesn't bring death, he brings Dream, who's the main character of Sandman, Mr. Sandman. Right. And he goes through his mansion. While it's going through his mansion, you see people in hoods and they're about to sacrifice someone. So he's clearly a Satanist. But he didn't really go on about it. Mentions it later on and said he was a person on par with Aleister Crowley. So I just found it interesting that Netflix...
They're putting it out there, aren't they?
Yeah, it's still there. Like it's on the Beatles cover, Aleister Crowley. Whether he was a real human or not, who knows, got no idea. But he's just there again, just thrown in there.
Went to the same school as Chris Whitty.
Yeah. Anyway, Fire, listen to this, right? There's another connection. So Neil Gaiman's great-grandparents were Polish-Jewish, came of another European origins, it says, other Eastern European origins. His great-granddad came from Antwerp, Belgium, around 1914. Eventually settled in Hampshire, near Portsmouth, in the city of Portsmouth. And he owned a chain of grocery stores. And then his granddad changed the name from Chairman to Gaiman.
Right.
Is Chairman a Jewish name, I'm guessing?
Chairman's a Jewish name. In fact, I think the first prime minister of Israel was called Chairman.
Right. So he changed his name to Gaiman. And he opened a string of grocery stores. And his father worked in the same grocery stores. His mum was a pharmacist. This is where it gets interesting. 1965, he moved to East Grinstead, Sussex. He's got two sisters, and he describes himself, this is an interesting bit, as a Jewish Scientologist. He was brought up as a Jewish Scientologist.
Right.
His sister works in an LA branch of the Scientology Church. Right. East Grinstead is where St. Hill Manor is, where L. Ron Hubbard started Scientology, i.e. Dianetics. He wrote that. I've got the book Dianetics in my hand. I just dug it out. His dad ended up, this is why I thought it was weird, because I thought it rings a bell, East Grinstead. And it's St. Hill Manor is where he based Dianetics, because I think he had to leave America for some reason, didn't it? But his dad was a public relations official to the Church of Scientology, working at basically the head office. And his sister works, like I said, in another. And he said he was inspired to write, it was one of them, this is another bit I thought was funny, it was one of those romantic stories that it just didn't ring right. He said he was inspired to write comics in the 80s after walking past a comic book shop and picking up a book by Alan Moore. Alan Moore, who wrote Watchmen, V for Vendetta, From Hell, another, an admitted Crowley, and a witch, I think. I mean, I love Alan Moore's books, but I think he's a self-proclaimed witch. Anyway. So he's described himself as a Jewish Scientologist, and his dad works directly for the Scientology Church.
Well, going back to 2000, going back to what you just said about, I bet this now when you start opening these doors, Because that type of research there
could have gone forever, Fire.
Yeah. Well, that's where I go. And that's what we're going to do with these things. Mm. But when you open that door to these people that you've sort of respected, looked up to, whatever it is, and you realise that it can't just have happened by chance.
Well, also, Dom, this is covering, say, for instance, like, what I mean is these false heroes, if you like, because these were my kid heroes, Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman and all these lot. It's similar to the music industry, like Matt Devlin delves into. The film industry is the same. It's just another branch, the comic book industry, because you're capturing kids' minds. The comic book industry made a bit of a resurgence in the late 80s, early 90s. And look where we are now with Marvel and DC. Yeah. It's massive. When I read comics when I was a kid, I actually hid it from people because I was slightly embarrassed. So it was still a geek. Geeks weren't cool then. It weren't cool to be a geek and read comics in late 80s. I used to hide them from my mates, but I still bought them. Anyway, listen to this. In 2016, along with a load of other famous celebs, there's loads in there, he appeared in a video, what they took with them, right? I didn't know any of this. And it's from the UN refugee agency, UNHCR, to raise awareness for global refugees. So he basically does stuff for the UN, a comic book writer, right? 2022, during the invasion of the Ukraine, he announced on Twitter that he doesn't want to renew any contracts with Russian publishers. So now you're entering the propaganda world of the using this guy.
Well, I would say, Chris, if you're high up the tree like he is, he's releasing films on Edward Bernays flicks, Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, he's written screenplays for dozens of films, his bibliography is massive.
Yeah,
And I love his stuff, you know, and it just makes your heart sink a little bit.
Well, the issue is that these people are talented people. I'm not saying they're the best, but they are talented people, but they're the best of the chosen ones, not the best of the best. It's a different thing.
That story of when he said he went into comics, the romanticized version of the story when he picked up The Swamp Thing written by Alan Moore and said, "This is it, I'm going into comics." It just sounded like a romanticized version to me.
I started Googling the garage.
Yeah, exactly.
Same bollocks in it.
Anyway, listen to this. 2020, right? He's in Havelock, North Hayes Bay in New Zealand. What happened in May 2020? There was lockdown in New Zealand, probably the harshest in the world. He jumped, and I had a bit of hope here, right? So he jumps lockdown, and he goes to Skye in, what is it? Scotland. But he jumps lockdown, he disobeys lockdown rules, and he ends up in Skye at his holiday home in Scotland. Now, the MP for Ross Skye and Lochester, I think it's Lochester, the MP, Ian Blackford, said his behaviour was unacceptable and dangerous. So you're kind of thinking, oh, what a hero. But then he came and published an apology on his website saying he had endangered the local community. So it's that thing again, isn't it? How did he get out of New Zealand anyway?
Well, if you can't fly out, how did he get out? Swim?
I don't know. But he was used as that. So then he makes an apology. So he's got the comic book fans. You know what I mean? These kids and people who read comics, one of their heroes is saying I endangered
community. It's the Jordan Peterson thing, isn't it? Oh, he's got millions of followers. Then he tells everybody he's been double tapped.
Yeah.
It's that thing, isn't it? It's,
well, he was being rebellious and he's a kind of a rebellious looking character, but then apologised and said he endangered everybody.
But they're not, as we know with the hippie movement, they weren't really rebels, were they? They were just young. I wanted to take drugs and go to concerts. Yeah. By the time they got to 30, they had to be execs.
Yeah.
That was wasn't it?
More charades and bollocks.
But there's a lot to dig around in that. And I know we've discussed this and now we've got a bit more time to do it. I've just got some research I'm doing on the last of the World Economic Forum stuff, which I'm hoping to finish by end of September, I reckon.
Well, I've worked my nuts off all August, so I'm hoping for a more sheep farm orientated September.
Well, we're moving into that. We plan that we're going to start the deeper dives because Chris has had more time now in from September onwards. So that's the plan. The plan is to do more of these deep dives, and if I get him involved in doing research as well.
Well, I'd love to do. I know. What did you say?
I said, "Fuck knows what's going to happen."
Well. The area I'm interested in, fact, is like I said, comic books, films. Because I never liked sport as a kid, so I was an obsessive comic book reader.
Well, again, and, look at what, films. From an author point of view, right? Look at what Mark's had to go through, John Aymer, and most people who are writing about this stuff, they don't get publishing contracts. They don't get publishing deals. We looked into, I'm not going to mention any names, but we looked into a few authors the other day, and one of them was a very famous author. He's dead now, but he got his first book published by the US fucking Navy.
Mm. Yeah. And do you remember that? I read that article out to you the other day about, and it was an article with Stephen King. And I just read through it because I used to read Stephen King once when I was a kid. And he was pushing the arms beer.
Yeah.
And basically saying everyone who didn't do what they were told were dangerous.
Yeah. What, in his Stephen King way?
Yeah. Well, we just did an interview with someone in there.
Pushing terror. The king of horror. Pushing terror. Yeah.
Pushing terror and bullshit. Well, the king of fiction pushing more fiction. Let's say it like that.
Pushing more bullshit. And yeah, it's a strange situation. But this, again, it just goes to show that stuff that's on there that looks a bit edgy, you know, Netflix, a bit edgy. It's not like BBC or all like that. They put stuff on about vegan diets and things that's sponsored by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't remember a few years ago before all this nonsense started, there was a vegan diet documentary on it where it went, as you call it, viral. And some people said, have you seen this? You know, because when you were into
it says viral, it means they just tell you to watch it.
Mm. And I said, well, yeah, but it's sponsored by Arnold Schwarzenegger, who, you know, it's just nonsense again. More nonsense.
I'm guessing one of the biggest meat eaters in the 80s.
Well, whether you're a meat eater then and change now, I don't really know, but it's not backed up by anything. And I'm not saying vegan food isn't good for certain people. I'm sure it is. But vegan food to me is eating fresh vegetables, fresh nuts, things like that, not processed shite. Anyway, another story.
That's when we'll get into that. They hijacked the vegan point. Thing.
Yeah. They hijacked the vegan thing. They've hijacked a lot of things.
Somehow I noticed very early in the vegan thing, being a chef working in kitchens, and bearing in mind, I've been a chef most of my life, and I'd never heard of the thing that they make, the fake chicken out. It's called Satan.
Right.
Is it a coincidence? I don't know. But I'd never heard of it.
It's all a coincidence, Chris.
I Googled it, and it was apparently in Japan in God knows when, but I've never heard of it, so I spent my entire life cooking.
Why would they call it Satan? I mean, they could call it anything, couldn't they?
It's not. It's spelled S-E-I, I think, but it's still Satan. Satan.
Yeah.
So the new... Yeah. I always thought that was a bit...
A giveaway.
Yeah.
Bit of a giveaway. Like the Sandman. Bit of a giveaway. Yeah. He's a freebie, but you know.
But it's a shame, isn't it? Because, I mean, I do watch these things.
Chris, sometimes. All of it's a shame. And as we're going to come on to in a minute when we start talking about some water bollocks, everything's a shame because the human population has the power to make everything abundant, everything free. But the problem with most humans are we're greedy, manipulative bastards who want more for themselves. So the more you give these people, the more they actually want. It's like it fuels greed. But maybe
if we lived in utopia, we'd be bored to death.
Well, no, but it's how we brought up. I was saying this. I was having a conversation with somebody today again about it's how we brought up. If we were brought up as children with this knowledge, we wouldn't turn out as knobheads. It'd
be a different world, wouldn't it?
It'd be a different world. But we're not. We're armed with all the wrong stuff. That's why we turn out as dumbed-down sheep and knobheads. And it's taken us, whatever, 50-odd years to learn all this stuff when we could have learned it in 10 years at school.
Well, you're
there's no excuse, is there, other than it's planned. Because, let's face it, right, anybody who's listening to this now would say, why wouldn't you teach kids about food or meditation?
Apathy. Be nice to your fellow man. It's never mentioned.
Why wouldn't you teach kids the obvious?
If you don't pass your GCSEs, you're going to be unemployable. That's what I got told.
No, what they prefer to have is a tranny dancing with kids who are shoving $10 bills down the bottoms or talking to them about anxiety and depression planting that seed into the mind.
And that seed in their head, if you don't get your GCSEs, you're screwed. You'll never, ever do anything.
Yeah. You won't get a 30 grand a year job.
I remember Seb's mum saying to him, when he was really little, he said, what's wrong with McDonald's, Dad? Mum keeps saying, if I don't do this, I'll end up working in McDonald's. What's wrong with McDonald's?
Well,
there's a lot wrong with McDonald's.
Yeah,
but but what I mean is, you get his point. It's a job.
Well, our mum used to say to me, you'd be working in mill. And said it like that in the Yorkshire accent. You'd be working in mill. It used to be down pit. Be working in mill. That's what she used to say to me. You useless bastard.
That's because she worked in a mill, didn't she? Yeah, she worked in a mill.
But one of the things that's been pumped into us brains over the last, well, since the summer, as global climate warming, pissing down change. But it's a system. If you notice, all these systems are set up to fail. So they're selling into the public's mind that carbon dioxide or monoxide or CO2, whatever they want to call it today, is causing climate change. It's driving. You hear them say it's driving climate change, CO2 emissions. Yet for the last 30 years, they've cut CO2 emissions, apparently, but nothing's happened. It's getting worse. So from spraying Lynx Africa to stopping using petrol to using diesel, taking lead out of your car, all these types of things, which I'm sure were causing problems to human beings, has never solved anything. Never.
No.
And it never will.
Worse and worse.
But it's got worse and worse because they say it's worse.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't mean...
Yeah, I know that. I know you don't. I know. But the set it up to fail anyway, because they're chasing that impossible dream, aren't they? They're chasing that dream that reducing CO2, will never reach it, because we'll be too old by the time they ever get to a point. They will have fallen off edge, and then the next generation will be trying to chase that carrot on a stick, and they'll never get it. Never, ever get it.
Which has existed since I was a kid.
Yeah, and you've got fucking Brian Cockwomble, who's rabbiting on, you know, telling everybody, and David Attenborough, and all these other clowns, and Greta Thunderbird ranting on and talking and spitting on everybody while she's talking, and nothing changes. Nothing.
Bollocks. Absolute nothing. Bollocks.
Absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, is it an environment thing? Recycling, fantastic. Oh, looking after your environment around you.
That's
fantastic.
Just intelligence, Chris, isn't it?
It's just intelligence. It's just... That's what farmers do. They recycle everything.
If you're using plastic or using glass, put them in a glass and plastic bin. What's wrong with that? Nothing.
Melt it down, regurgitate.
There's nothing wrong with that. Cardboard. I agree with all that. Why shouldn't we? You know?
But what they're doing, they use it as yet another fear and guilt tool. Feel guilty.
But they use
you are scum.
Yes. And it's all your fault. Because obviously, you asked for polystyrene to be invented. You know?
It's not the big business that invented the plastic bottle. It's you who's fucking drinking out of it. You bastard.
And I was having a conversation with Mark Pajerski, and we were talking about microplastics. And
Dom, just quickly, that came from David Attenborough, just literally announced, I remember it, he announced it on one of his documentaries, and they did a whole series of it, and that was it. Now there's microplastics in the water.
Even people in our mindset, going back to this total 360 degree, coming back to what we're talking about, where we've come through that tunnel, the other side, yeah? And now I'm questioning the questions.
Hmm.
Because the same fucking twats who tell us about microplastics are the same bastards who injected us or tried to.
Yeah.
And so are microplastics like viruses? Are they measured and they know what they're going to find? Yeah. So what is a microplastic? They're minerals. Are they in the sea? Probably. Mm. What's a PCR test measuring? Proteins. Are they in humans? Probably. If they're in a can of Red Bull, they're probably in humans, for argument's sake. I'm using that as an example. So are microplastics really coming out of fucking 8 bottles of Head and Shoulders in Pacific, right? Right? Or are they actually just in the sea
granular
anyway?
Granular facial scrub.
Yeah. Are they actually in the sea anyway? And that mountain of plastic bottles that an Arctic just dumped so Lewis Hamilton could walk on.
I'm
going
to say I need to get fucking Lewis Hamilton back in
there. But what I'm trying to say is that these people, the same people, Sir David BBC Attenborough, who told us about microplastics, which we all think are in there, right?
Mm.
All of a sudden, that gives it a different sort of prospect when you know that he's a lying bastard.
Yeah, and the microplastics, you can't see him.
Yeah, while he's flown there on his jet with all his camera crew.
Yeah, to check out the microplastics.
Yeah, to check out microplastics.
Hypocrites the last.
Yeah. But anyway.
If anyone brings this shit up with me, by the way, I just say this. I refuse to feel guilty. I refuse to. I'm sorry. I'm not going to feel guilty. I don't care what's happening. I'm not feeling any guilt for it.
I came across a thing, though, today, Chris. You'd be happy to know that Shell's got a foundation.
Right, of course they have.
So they're
non-profit. Is it non-profit?
Non-profit, but it's got...
Is it?
It's got $300 million a year to spend.
Yeah.
It's non-profit, though.
My bill's doubled, and they made, my bill's doubled, and they made $7.5 billion profit.
Yeah, they're looking after microplastics. You know,
the best description of global climate warming freezing change, by the way, is that George Carlin clip, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Remember that,
That is the. And how long ago? Not nearly 20 years ago that he said that, probably. And the rest, and he's taking piss out of it. And
yeah, and he says if we're that bad, the Earth will just shake us off like a surface problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's surface irritant or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. I would recommend anyone go watch George Carlin talk about global climate warming, freezing change.
Anyway, I want to remind everybody about the Met Office. Just before I start going into a bit of something on something else, the Meteorological Office, and we mentioned it a few months ago, abbreviated to the Met Office, is the UK's National Weather Service. And it's an executive agency and trading fund. So... Right. When I hear them words, trading fund, that means it's there to make some profit. And it's an executive agency of the government, which means it looks after the budget. Yeah. But also, it's part of the Department of Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy.
Right.
These words are important, because that means that there is a monetary element attached to all of this, and yet it's private companies that are running these things, that where rain goes into a reservoir, Yorkshire Water PLC run it, or whoever. It's used maybe for electric, whatever it is. All these things have a price on them, and yet government are spending billions looking after it. So to me, it's led by CEO. So CEOs run blue chip organizations, but Penelope Endersby. She was appointed chief executive of the Met Office in December 2018. Prior to that, she led cyber and information systems at the Defence Science and Technology Laboratory.
Sounds a bit DARPA-esque.
Which is placed in several locations at Porton Down. And it's funny she should mention DARPA, because it also says, look up DARPA.
Right.
So it's the equivalent of DARPA. In America. So she headed up that, and now she's heading up the weather.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Well, so she worked for the Ministry of Defense. So she
is. Weather's a weapon, isn't it? They're using it as a weapon.
And the Meteorological Office was part of the Ministry of Defense.
How do they, what could they possibly have to do with each other?
Weather Wars.
I mean,
H.G. Wells who did Weather Wars, Chris. H.G. Wells wrote about Weather Wars. Were it him or?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, one of them won it.
But whether excuse me, I can't say it, stop saying weather, but whether they're using weather per se, or they're just using climate, global freezing, warming change as a weapon. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's both, actually. I mean, when you look at some of them California fires, who was that fellow we were following, fire? Where you could literally see blazing.
Plain Truth. Go watch Plain Truth.
Plain Truth 3. And those, do you remember those trees burning from inside and stuff? I mean, I saw one recently, and it was in the middle of the tinderbox horrible heat wave we had, where it was just a nightmare. Although I would reinterpret that as a nice hot summer. But anyway, it was
a tinderbox.
Dreadful.
People
were crying. Tinderbox, people crying in the street. But I saw a picture.
I saw them burning. They're on fire.
There was a motorway fire, but there's also, I saw a picture of a fire, and it reminded me of those California ones, because all the trees were burning from the bottom up, but none of the leaves at the top were burning. And it looked very odd to me. It looked very odd. And I saw another picture, and it was of a house, and it was in the middle of a wood, and everything around it was burning, but the trees were kind of just stood there. The house was burning, sorry, but the trees were just stood there.
Yeah, it's...
Anyway, sorry.
But no, it's, she ran something called Research Cloud, or she was part of, which is the Defence Science and Technology Labs supply chain marketplace for science and technology research. And our cloud frameworks cover 8 capability areas. When you start hearing this, it's like military stroke business talk, isn't it?
So I said it sounded like military.
Yeah. So these are the eight areas they're controlled in that Defence Science and Technology Lab. Command, control, communication and computer intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, which is abbreviated to C4ISR or CASA, I would have thought. So also part of chemical, biological and radiological and nuclear, called CBRN, CBRN, and counter-terrorism and security, so that's three, and cyber, that's four, human capability, that's five, integrated surveillability.
Surveillance.
Yeah, and platform systems, and the last one is weapons. So she now runs the Met Office. So she joined these are the people that put it in place.
I just said without repeating myself, is it just tells you that they're militarizing or weaponizing the weather.
What does this remind you of? This reminds you of David, what they call him, the book on the music industry, where they were all related to military.
McGowan.
Yeah. Dave McGowan's book and Mark Devlin's books. That link people back to the military industrial complex or to the bloodlines that we've uncovered and many other people have uncovered. I will grow old, then I will die. I'll be a part of the oceans and sky. When I was young, I was a part of the oceans and skies.